I'm Matt Katz, a reporter at WNYC, in for Tanzina Vega all week. This is The Takeaway. We're going to start today by talking about the death penalty, a topic that has grown increasingly divisive in recent years. While some states like Virginia and Colorado have recently moved to abolish it, others have looked for ways to continue executing people on death row, even as some of the execution methods have become increasingly difficult or even impractical. Last week, South Carolina entered the fray. Governor Henry McMaster signed a bill requiring people on death row to choose between firing squad or the electric chair if lethal injection isn't available.
The death penalty, which has been in South Carolina for, I think, since the very beginning, was not able to function because of the way our particular one was written, and that has now been accomplished, has been fixed, so that justice may proceed.
Mississippi, Utah, and Oklahoma are the only other states that currently allow the use of firing squads.
There's no humane way to kill a human being. I don't view the firing squad any better than the electric chair, lethal injection, or otherwise.
That was South Carolina State Representative Justin Bamberg on MSNBC speaking in opposition to the new law. Under South Carolina's previous law, lethal injection was the primary mode of execution. But there's been a shortage of those drugs in recent years as manufacturers have grown weary of being tied to the death penalty. And that's led to a major showdown in executions for South Carolina, which hasn't carried out an execution in roughly 10 years. There are currently 37 people on death row in the state, with three of them having exhausted all of their appeals. So what will this new law mean for South Carolina, and how does it fit into the current state of death penalty policies nationwide? For that and more, we're joined now by Victoria Hansen, reporter for South Carolina Public Radio based in Charleston. Victoria, glad to have you here.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. Also with us is Marie Shema, staff writer at the Marshall Project and author of Let the Lord Sort Them, The Rise and Fall of the Death Penalty. Maurice, welcome back to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me. Great to be with you.
Good to be with you too. Victoria, we'll start with you. It's been about 10 years since the last execution took place in South Carolina. Why the delay? What's been going on?
Well, Matt, as you mentioned right there off the top, the problem has been that the state has not been able to get the chemicals needed for lethal injection from pharmaceutical companies, especially without a shield like other states have that protect the identity of the company that's selling the drugs for execution. So as you mentioned, while lethal injection is the default method, the choice was between lethal injection and the electric chair. But without those drugs, they couldn't carry out the executions. So as they debated this most recent legislation, this newly passed legislation, there were three death row inmates who had exhausted all their appeals on death row, execution stayed, who could not be put to death because they had not chosen the electric chair.
So now they will have a choice to choose between the electric chair and firing squad, and they will be presented that choice when it's their time. Is that how this is going to work, Victoria?
That is how it's supposed to work. And again, lethal injection is still an option if it is available. And that is a big if. Again, the inmates must decide between the electric chair and the firing squad, with the electric chair now being the default method. The electric chair is now the default method of execution, and it was last used in 2008.
Is there a firing squad ready to go? Is it already up and available to do this, or do they have to work that out?
No, there is no firing squad. In fact, the state needs to create one. And the Department of Corrections is looking to other states that currently use this method, like Mississippi, Oklahoma, and Utah. There's no word on just how long this will take, what it will cost. But here's the catch. The state may be able to carry out executions by electric chair, even if a firing squad is not available. Because while inmates do have a choice, the electric chair, again, is now the default method.
Maurice, Victoria mentioned these three other states that do use firing squads. How frequently are firing squads used in those states?
Very rarely. It's only been used in the last 50 or so years in Utah. The last time was in 2010. And then before that, there were a couple of times going back to the 70s. But Utah will end up being sort of the source of expertise for South Carolina or other states who try to carry out executions this way. Similarly, the electric chair, although used a little more frequently and used, you know, more than 100 times in the past half century or so, is pretty rare. And Tennessee is kind of the dominant state now that uses it. Most states still use lethal injection because they have managed to find those drugs.
And what has been the issue with finding the drugs for lethal injections? What are the concerns from the pharmaceutical companies that provide the drugs?
Sure. So about 10 years ago, you know, activists who opposed the death penalty kind of prevailed on pharmaceutical companies to stop letting their drugs be used for this purpose. They helped them enact what were called distribution controls so that the drugs wouldn't get into the hands of prison agencies. The prisons kind of scrambled in response and started enlisting, sometimes actually overseas sources. Some of them went to India and Europe to try to get sources of drugs. Sometimes they would enlist sort of small independent compounding pharmacies to make pentobarbital and other lethal injection drugs. And so you would hear these sort of salacious stories of them, you know, buying the drugs with cash, taxpayer money, you know, going in a suitcase, some illicit sounding scheme to get the drugs. This was all generally considered legal, but as Victoria said, you know, even small independent pharmacies don't necessarily want the kind of PR problem of being the source of execution drugs. And so it's gotten harder and harder for states to get these drugs and also more and more expensive. Recently, Arizona was on record for paying more than $1 million for execution drugs.
Maurice, you've done so much reporting on the death penalty. I'm curious about the people who will be firing these bullets in these firing squads. What mental toll do executions tend to take on the people who are tasked with observing them or carrying them out?
It's a good question. I mean, we know, broadly speaking, that the experience of working at an execution, not just, you know, strapping the prisoner down to a lethal injection gurney or a electric chair, but even escorting them into the room, interacting with them the day of their death is, you know, horribly traumatic. It exacts a really intense mental toll. Many of the executioners that I interviewed for my book, many of them managed to get on with their lives, but none of them described the experience as being other than, you know, very, very difficult. And some of them retired or, you know, had to go into therapy or even had kind of nervous breakdowns from the experience. I think that the firing squad, because it is such a dramatic form of execution and it looks so violent, will be hard for people to watch. And I think the fact that it's hard to watch is maybe part of why it has not been more popular over the last 50 years. Because logistically, and to speak sort of frankly, it is kind of a more surefire method of execution than lethal injection.
Victoria, you recently spoke with South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster about this new law. What did he have to say about it?
Yeah, the governor says this is necessary. They've been trying to do this for some time. He says the families of victims need to get the justice that they were promised in court. Most Republicans have been in favor, but, you know, some say they were conflicted. You know, even though this was not a debate about the death penalty itself, if they have been pro-life when it has come to talking about bills about abortion, how can they not be pro-life when it comes to capital punishment? And I have to mention, already there have been lawsuits filed.
You know, Maurice, people sometimes are sentenced to die but are later exonerated, found to be innocent for their crimes. There was a case recently in Arkansas. Newly uncovered DNA evidence would have exonerated a black man there who was executed in 2017. How significant of a factor are wrongful convictions in the argument against the death penalty?
I think that wrongful convictions have long been a sort of big driver of opposition to the death penalty. At this point, there's been roughly one exoneration, one person freed from death row because they were innocent for every 8 executions, which is just a very high rate of error. And I have seen that this argument that the system, you know, gets it wrong sometimes is especially compelling to conservatives to Republicans. You know, some Republicans came out against the firing squad bill in South Carolina. In Oklahoma, they've been filing bills that make it easier for death row prisoners to make arguments of innocence in court. There are many bills around the rest of the country and state legislatures brought by Republicans that would limit who get the death penalty. And I think there's this increasing realization that if, as conservatives, they oppose big government, sort of out of control taxpayer spending and the government's ability to kind of swoop in on your life and limit your liberty, that the death penalty is kind of the ultimate example of that.
Mm-hmm. And Maurice, nationally, during the 2020 campaign, President Biden said he would work to pass legislation ending the death penalty at the federal level. Has he done anything in this regard since taking office?
He has not. A group of Democratic lawmakers in Congress have brought a bill recently. The first Republican signed on to that bill. And so there is this bill kind of active in Congress, but Biden himself has not done a whole lot. His priorities have been elsewhere. There is quite a bit that he could do even behind the scenes. You know, he could help improve defense for those facing the death penalty at the state level. He could just issue a moratorium. He could even go so far as to commute the sentences of those on federal death row, which I think would be a fairly controversial thing to do. But my sense is that at the moment in Congress, it still feels like a fairly partisan issue. And Biden, as we've seen in other cases, is sort of not eager to wade into what can feel like culture war battles.
Victoria, who's on death row in South Carolina? What are the racial demographics?
All right, so there are 37 inmates who are currently on death row. 19 of those are Black.
And that's reflective of those who are on death row nationally, right, Maurice?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's now been pretty well shown that the death penalty's roots go back many years, and some of those roots are in lynchings and the lynchings that disproportionately targeted Black Americans. That continues to be true, not just in the disparities on death row being, you know, more Black prisoners, but also if a victim is white, it's often been found that it's more likely that the defendant will get the death penalty regardless of their race. So there's a lot of ways in which race kind of skews who ends up getting the ultimate punishment.
Victoria, before I let you guys go, what are you watching for next when it comes to South Carolina death penalty cases?
All right, well, a couple of things. As I mentioned, that lawsuit filed on behalf of two of the inmates whose executions had been stayed because of the lack of chemicals. This law is retroactive, and they claim it's unconstitutional to have a method of execution changed by a law that did not exist when they were sentenced to death. The other is the third inmate whose execution was stayed, Richard Moore. The state Supreme Court is now hearing his case again. He was tried by an all-white jury.
Victoria Hansen is a reporter for South Carolina Public Radio, and Maurice Shema is a staff writer at the Marshall Project. Guys, thank you so much for joining us and explaining this issue to us.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.